There we go. Flipping a coin this morning. Which way is it going to fall? If you do by the law of averages, 51% of the time it's going to land on tails. Are you willing to take a chance by the flip of the coin? We're going to be looking this morning toward our lesson. It's going to be found in Genesis chapter 6. And we're going to get Genesis chapter 6 through Genesis chapter 11. So what we're going to do is breaking in on this point, we want to come to some words right here. And I'm going to take you on a quick journey, okay? And then I'm going to go back and fill in the gaps. So let me do this quick journey to kind of give you the flavor of this. In Genesis chapter 6 and verse 1, the scripture says, "Now it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man forever. And he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Capture picture number one. We're talking about the ark. Okay? In chapter 7, verse 1. In chapter 7, verse 1, we're talking about where the flood comes in. We've built an ark. Noah built the ark, and then God gives to him an invitation. Chapter 7, verse 1. Then the Lord said to Noah, "Come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation." Capture in your mind an ark with one door. And the Lord God being inside of the ark, and He's now saying to them, come inside the ark. The floods come, covering all of the earth. And all of a sudden now the waters begin to settle down. Chapter 8, verse 1. Then God remembered Noah and everything and all the animals that were within the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters subsided. Capture in your mind the waters going down, the ark resting on dry ground. Chapter 9 and verse 1. So God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be on every beast of the earth and on every bird of the air and on all that move on the earth and all the fish of the sea. They are given into your hands." Capture now Noah and his sons and their wives walking out of the ark onto the dry land, and God gives to them this picture of the whole world that is now in front of them to go and to bear forth the purpose of God. Chapter 10, verse 1. Now this is the genealogy of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, after the sons born to them after the floods. Capture in your mind the children of Noah now spreading across the world with a promise and a purpose. God said to them, "Go and multiply. Go and cover the earth with multiplication, bringing Him honor and glory." Chapter 11, verse 1. The whole earth had one language and one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east, they found the plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, "Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly." They had brick for a stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the earth." Capture in your mind and attention, as the plan of God began to spread and began to be formulated, they were to go out and multiply, covering the earth, but a crisis occurred. The crisis occurred when man backed off from doing what God said and they said, let's do it our way. And then the last picture in your mind I want you to see is that of a tower, the Tower of Babel, that's standing tall up into the sky. Man's action to reach the heaven. Man's action to be as God. Man's action for a sacred place. Man's action, man's way, the Tower of Babel. And then God intervenes. What I wanted to do is to give you that quick overview to say that all that we are about to do in the next few minutes, they all tie together. It's all one story. Now, it covers several years, but we have to keep into our mind that God came in and God saw what was going on in chapter 6 and verse 1. God did not like what He saw. It still amazes me that God, the creator of the universe, could feel sorrow in His heart. And He said, you know what? I'm sorry that I even made mankind. So He said, this is what I'm going to do. Because they have turned their heart, I gave them the freedom of choice. And because they turned their heart, I'm just going to destroy them all. And I'm going to destroy them all. And I'm going to start all over. So God saw that when they began to multiply, He turned around and He says, look, because of their sin, that's too much. What was happening there? Chapter 6, verse 5, He says, and every thought of in the heart was only on evil. What is this? 7 billion people? What is this? Their mind being corrupted? What is this? They're turning away from the heart of God? How could that be? Until we ask ourselves, what about us? As a man thinketh in his heart, what? So is he. Let's do a test. Hey, Stallone. Come here, buddy. You're a good guy, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
All right. Did y'all hear that? He's a good guy. Agree with him?
Yes.
Yeah. You got that in your heart?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Because you're a good guy, you're going to live right, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. You're going to live for God, right?
Yes, sir.
Hey, all the way? Is that really in your heart? Very good, thank you. You see what was in his heart? He's going to live for God. And you know what? I believe this guy is going to live for God. Don't you? I do. As in his heart. Bobby, are you a pro football player? Is it in your heart to be a pro football player? Oh, it is. Okay. Scratch that illustration, all right? Bobby's got a long ways to go to be a pro football player. But he does have it in his heart. But you know what? If you got it in his heart, then, buddy, you need to start running laps, okay? As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. If you really begin to capture that, what do you think about yourself? What do you think about your God? What you think makes a huge difference of how you're going to live. As a man thinking, some people think, I'm not beautiful. That's ludicrous. God made you. You are beautiful. You are beautiful. But you think in your heart, I'm not beautiful. That's crazy. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Think the way God thinks. God made you beautiful and God doesn't make junk. You are somebody beautiful in God's eyes. So start thinking the way God thinks. Start being encouraged the way God is. And don't think evil, tearing down, building down, lowering down, but think building up. That's the way God wants you to think. Because when we do this, if we're not, here's what's going to happen to us. We're all going to go through this test period. And Satan's going to come along and tempt you. And he's going to tempt you from the way that you're thinking. Because the Scripture says in James 1:14 says, but each man is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when his desire is conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Okay, look at that. Now, your thought process, what's the desires of your heart? If your desires of your heart is to give God and honor and glory to God, then your desire is not going to be tempted with something that's coming from inside of you. Let me explain that just a little bit differently. drawn away. Every one of us have desires. Frank has a desire to eat. Right, Frank? Oh, okay. All right. Because now, Frank, if Frank controls that with the way that God wants him to, then Frank's going to live a long, good, healthy life, be it God's will. Okay? He's going to do that. But if Frank all of a sudden looks at the third, fourth, fifth helping, then what's going to happen? You're going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And you know what the heart doctor told me? He says, Robert, and he brought out this glob like this. And he says, how much is that? Oh, I said about two or three. He said, that's 10 pounds of fat. And he says, your heart has to keep that fat alive. He got my attention. Because, see, I couldn't do things. I couldn't breathe. I couldn't work. And so when all of a sudden when I dropped that blob that was in me, then I could get out and work. Almost as bad as Todd, but not quite. I mean, I came close. But what happens is we can be tempted by what we enjoy, but we've got to control it. Okay? And if you control it, then you function better. But if you don't control it and you allow your desires to get out of whack, then our desires conceived and it gives birth, and then ultimately it's going to bring forth that which we don't want. Okay, bottom line is this. These people were living together in a community, and all they could think about was stuff that brought forth evil, not brought forth glory to God. So God said, I'm going to destroy the man that I've created from the face of the earth. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So when you're thinking about this, salvation story is reaching out to sinful man. But there's two sides to this coin. On one side there is the judgment. How did God bring forth judgment on the world? With a flood. Yeah, he destroyed every living creature that breathed and walked on the earth with a flood. That's judgment. But what about the other side of that coin? Grace. Noah found grace in the eye of the Lord. Tell me, is that one coin? Yes. Is it one God? Yes. So how we see, understand, know God, he's a loving God, but he's also a just God. And so therefore, he's going to bring these things together. So now God made this. He led this man to create and build this ark with exact dimensions. And then he said, God called him. Where was God when he called? Do you remember that scripture in chapter 7, verse 1? He said, come in. So if he said come in, that means God was on the inside. So God is calling people for salvation. The salvation story is God calling men to himself. Come to me. This is, I'll give you rest. And to have faith is to obey, and to obey is to have faith. Uh-oh, now that's one of those. Troy, can you figure that one out? Is this correct? To have faith is to obey. Okay, that's good. Well, to obey is to have faith. So they're both right? Okay, all right. So Troy gave it the stamp of approval. All right, so think about it. If you've got faith, then your faith is to do what? Obey. But what about obeying before faith? Shows faith? Yeah, okay. So we're struggling with this thing just a little bit right here. Noah was the only guy living in possibly 7 billion people who had faith in God. He lived right. He believed God was going to send a deliverer. He did what was right. Now, did he understand all was going to happen? No. But did God tell him to build an ark? Yes, he did. Did he obey? Had he ever seen rain? No. But he obeyed because he had faith. He had faith to believe, and then he obeyed even when he didn't see and understand all that. God is going to call and ask you to do some stuff you don't know about. You haven't seen, you haven't been there. God's going to ask you. He's going to ask you to step out in what we call faith. And we are to obey. And then after we obey, that faith is going to be strengthened. It starts with faith, But it also says, listen, guys, we're not talking about sitting back doing nothing. We're talking about getting in there where the battle is. We've got to obey. Then God said in chapter 7, verse 1, come into the ark, you and your household, because I've seen that you are righteous before me, before this whole generation. How many doors did we say? We said there was one door. And Jesus said, I am the door. If anyone comes, enters me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. So one door, invitation from God, Jesus is the way. Salvation is going to be secured when you know in your mind, in your heart, you have the faith to obey, and then you obey because you've got faith. So therefore, we've got a coin here. Inside, there's safety. Inside the ark, there's safety. What's on the outside? Water and death. That's a decision. But still, is it the same coin? It really is the same coin. It really is. God is telling us a very specific message. Inside, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. John 14, verse 6. Outside, John 10, 10, thieves, robbers, and killers outside. Well, which do you want to be, inside or outside? You better. But it's a choice. It is a choice. But then God remembered. What would it have been like to have lived in a one-room cavern for over a year with elephants, donkeys, gorillas? What do you do with all the stinky? Now, come on, now get real. I think it stunk in there. I don't know about you guys, but being locked up around a year with a herd of inside of this cavern, it kind of reminds me when we took our group of young people. We went to the Lost River. What's it called? Lost River. And we in this cave, in the bottom of this cave, it was this huge cavern right there. And in that huge cavern, there's several different groups that were spending the night there, camping out. Dirty, wet, 60 degrees, throw your clothes away kind of stuff. And after things got quiet, you had this guy that snored. And how can you rock the walls of a cavern? But he was snoring so loud that these walls seemed like they were just rocking. And then he had a few little other snores go with him. But he was a king snore. We won't call Donna's name. But he was king snore. Now where are you going to run and hide when all of a sudden this starts? Well, it must have been exciting in the ark with all those animals for a year. God remembered them. But the story, salvation story, is in the mind of God. Because you see, God remembered. Do you ever feel like you've been forgotten? Sometimes we do feel like that, don't we? You ever prayed something and you haven't seen the answer? God remembers. God remembers. You know, I can even remember going back in my college days, even before I was ever married, that I prayed for my children before they were even born. God answered those prayers. God remembers. God is not going to forget you, no matter what your situation is. And if you may have been in the storm for over a year. Some of you may have been in the storm for 5 years. You think God has forgotten you, but He hasn't. He hasn't. Then God remembered in chapter 8, verse 1, then God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the animals that were with him. God remembered him. God is going to remember you. He's not going to forget you. So he told him, first of all, to come in. But secondly, after God reminded them, he says, now go out of the ark, you and all your sons and your wives and your sons' wives with you. Go out. It's one thing to come into the security with God. But that's not where you're supposed to stay. A Christian is somebody that's out in the world living right. That's a Christian. You see, we can't stay in the walls of the church. We come together, we celebrate, we worship. But then he says, go out. Go out. And that's what he said. Go out of the ark. One place in Mark 16:15, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Hey, do y'all know some of those guys walking on 2 feet that hadn't been invited to Christ? Do you know somebody like that? You can even run them off from your business, can't you, Frank? when you tell somebody the truth about God, not everybody's going to hear, receive, and accept it. But we go into all the world. Why? God said, go out. Are you with me now? You first of all got to get security inside. You got to get your thinking right. You got to get your heart right. You got to get your desires right. Now, you're strong enough. I've given you long enough to come into the security of this. Now it's time to reach out, go out into all the world. Sometimes he's going to tell you, hey, come unto me, all you are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Sometimes, listen, folks, we need to draw in. You can't always be out there giving it 100. Sometimes you got to draw back. Sometimes you need to rest. Sometimes you need to stop and smell the roses. Sometimes you just need to be still and say, God, I can't take it no longer. Sometimes God's going to come to you and just say, hey, come over to my house for a while. Get rested up. After you get rested up, then go out again. Party's not over. Just get your rest. And let's face it again. Two sides of the same coin. One side of the coin says, come in. But what does the other side say?
Go out.
Go out. Same coin. Same coin. Now, God bless the children. God bless Noah. And the salvation story flourishes with a purpose. So God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Have you ever heard those words before? Where'd you hear those words? Was it not the words that, yeah, God gave Adam and Eve. Now, they were the first two, right? Everybody came from Adam and Eve, right? Yeah, okay. What happens now when everybody's killed except Noah and his family? You got it. It's a brand new beginning. A brand new beginning. The other guy's messed up. You got a new start. See, some of you have received a new start right here. You messed up first round. You messed up. But God's given you a new chance. The game plan hasn't changed. He's given you a new beginning. Noah, pick up the torch and go. Salvation flourishes as this purpose. Because inside of this purpose, he said, be fruitful. God desires you to be about the Father's business. Be fruitful. Multiply. God desires for you to multiply, not subtract, not divide. God wants you to multiply and fill the earth. God desires for you to cover the earth for His honor, for His glory. So, now, you think about that. If you're depressed, are you being fruitful? If you're depressed, are you multiplying? If you're depressed, are you filling the earth, giving God the glory? Probably not. Now, I'm not talking about clinical depression. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about inside of the household of faith. Sometimes we get tired, weary, and we won't give up. But we can't if we go back and listen to this promise. Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. That's what God is calling. And by the way, these three sons of Noah, chapter 9, verse 19, these three were the sons of Noah. From the whole earth was populated. Troy, do you know that we're kin? Yeah. Do you know that Brother Tony and I are kin? Are you going to hurt your family?
Not on purpose.
That's good. Can you imagine in your family just turn around and killing them? That doesn't make sense, does it? Is there anything they can do to make you just want to kill your whole family? He had to think on that. No, there's really not, is it? So if there's nothing happened that you would kill your own family, if we let our minds extend, how big is your family? The whole world. Wow. Everybody's related to Troy. Isn't that amazing? You know what? If we would believe the truth of that one verse right there, Hitler would have never killed 6 million Jews. Hitler would have never taken a whole village of people who were handicapped. Hitler would have never taken men and put them in ice vats, or some of his doctors to put them in to see how long it takes before a person dies from hypothermia. Hitler never would have allowed some of his doctors to put them inside of this pressure chamber and turn up the pressure until their lungs explode. Never would have done that if we would learn this one verse right here. Now, when we approach people that we come into contact with, let's remember we're kin to them. We may not like them, okay? I didn't say you had to like everybody. You got to love them, but you don't have to like them. You got to respect them. Pray for them. That's what he says. Whether a brother or an enemy, he says, pray for them, Judy. You're right. And so, therefore, let's keep this thing in focus, in mind. That'll give us balance of life that we all came. And then God made a covenant. In chapter 9, he says, Then I will establish my covenant, and never again shall all flesh be destroyed by waters of the flood. Never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth again. God made a covenant. And he gave us a rainbow. Okay, are we going to be fruitful or are we going to be barren? Same coin. God's got a plan. The salvation story is for all mankind. In fact, in chapter 10, verse 1, now this is the genealogy of the sons of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. All the sons were born after the flood. Only one race, and that's the human race. For whom did Jesus die? Yeah! In fact, if you go one step further and you see in Romans chapter 5, verse 6, he says, for when we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. When we were still helpless, when we were still weak, when we were still without hope, when we were still at enemies with God, when we were at odds with God, Christ died for us. He literally, when we were helpless and could do nothing for ourselves, Christ died for us. And doing this, he demonstrated his love toward us. According to Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, he demonstrated it, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Do you know how to love? Yeah. Can you show that love? Yeah. That's what God did. He didn't only say, I loved you, but he showed you. Even so much he did it, like in Romans chapter 5, verse 10, where he says, For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Do you follow that train of thought right there? We were sinners. He died for us. He reconciled us. And because Christ is alive, we today can live in part of this family. So the real question comes down then, are you saved or you lost? Same coin. Two decisions, saved or lost. But then God intervened. If you think the Christian life is easy, you better think again. It's just about the time you would think that after God destroyed the world, that people would get it all under control and understand it, know it, and follow God. They didn't do it. They got together, now the whole earth had one language and one speech. And the story of salvation is not without crisis. So I want you to know that there is going to be crisis that's come into your life, and God's going to intervene. Because what did they do? They went out and they built what is known as the Tower of Babel. And the Tower of Babel, they built it up till it would reach the sky. They said, we're going to make this sacred area. We're going to be where the whole world comes here. And we're going to solidify, not move out, strengthen. We're going to have our own method, our own way. We're going to do it man's way. So they built this altar. Some would say they would go up to the top even to worship the stars in the sky and take a spiritual condition of astrology. I don't know all that. But this is what I do know. I do know man attempted to do it his way. Had one language. And he was moving away from God. And God said, I love him enough that he came down. Man attempted to work his way to heaven. He said, come, let us build ourselves a city. Man attempted to take God's place and a tower whose top would reach into the heavens. Man attempted to rob God of his glories because they said, let us make us a name. Let us make a name for ourselves. Man's rebellion against God's purpose, lest we be scattered abroad all over the face of the earth. We just got through reading something. What did God tell Adam and what did God tell Noah? Yeah, scatter across the whole earth. Now what man said we're going to do? You got it. Crisis occurs when we seek to try to change the game plan. So God said, chapter 11, verse 7, he said, come, let us go down. Let us. Woo! Who's in heaven? Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. We know this. We know the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. We know that he said, now, okay, team. Even though he's one, he said, let's go intervene into the lives of people. Let us go down and confuse their language. By the way, when you get to heaven, how many languages is there going to be? I hope so. Could be one language. When we started, there was what? One language. And it appears that when we end, there's going to be one. Could be very well. One language, right? But we can't do it all. Let us go down and confuse their language so they don't understand. So the Lord scattered them all over the face of the earth, and they ceased. When they couldn't get along, what did they do? They scattered. That's true. They scattered. So what is God telling us? He's telling us, you know, on the same coin, somebody speaks and somebody understands. But Danny, do you understand what I'm saying? A little bit. Okay. One side of the coin, somebody's got to speak. Other side of the coin, somebody's got to understand. God is speaking today. And when he's speaking to us, he's telling us to love our neighbor. What is the first and great commandment that we've heard twice this morning? We read it. We heard it in the center during the prayer time, the offering time. He says, first and great commandment is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first great commandment. And what's the second one? You got it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. You have no other commandments greater than these. So therefore, who are you to love? Ultimately, yeah. There's 6,500 spoken languages in this world today. And you're kin to every one of them. And our goal is to love every one of them that God brings us into contact with. And live that Christian life. Can we do this? Yes, we can live a life even though the world around us may not believe it, understand it, accept it. They may think evil about it, but can we live it? The answer is yes, Noah did. So, who are you going to love? Yeah. Who are you going to ask? Would you like to call on the name of the Lord Jesus? I'm going to hold you to that. Who are you going to ask? Would you like to call on the name of the Lord Jesus? We've covered this morning. God saw what was going on and we experienced grace. We covered this morning that God called them into the ark. We experienced obedience. We covered this morning that God remembered them being in the ark. And He gave to them a covenant. He blessed them, gave them a purpose. He has a plan for their life, to be saved, to share that. And God intervenes when they get out of line. Where are you in this journey this morning? Where are you in this journey? Don't play the odds. Walk with Him. Walk with Jesus. Security is found in Christ, but there's also service, and that's the same side of the coin. Let's pray. Father, as we come before You this morning, we're coming, Lord, with our hearts mindful of who You are and what You've done. And Lord, when we're weak, make us strong. When we lose sight, bring us back. We've seen what You have done and what You're going to do and what You can do. And we know that Your will is ultimately going to be done. Help us to know the love of God and the judgment of God. Help us to know what it means to be inside the will of God and outside. Help us to make decision, Lord, that we will be fruitful and not barren, and that we will accomplish today what You have set before us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. This morning, we're going to share together. I think I'm just going to ask you to sit tight, okay? I just want you to sit tight. Some of you this morning may need to get up, though, okay? God's called you to come out of the ark. And if God's called you to come out of the ark, then it's time to get up. Some of you, though, God may be calling you to come into the ark, coming into the security. Some of you may need to come into the place of rest because your life is messed up right now and you need a breather. Come into the ark. But then, once you get your breath back, go back out into the world and continue to accomplish the purpose. What's your need to do today? What is that God wants you to do today? If you want to give your life to Christ, I want to know about it. You need to go to these prayer altars. They're open. So in this period of time right now, we're going to sit back. I'm going to share a song with you. And I'm going to ask you to make decisions. You just step out and do what God tells you to do. Okay? You don't mind letting y'all sit, right? Y'all still awake? Okay, good. I'll let you sit. I want you to be there in this moment in time, worshiping God. Because when the song's over, we got to go outside.
Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is Your name. Thank you.
Father, worthy is your name. We have now entered to worship, and now we depart to serve in the power of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Bless now this group of people. Lord, we are about doing the Father's will. Strengthen us in that journey. Help us, Lord, to rise up and be Christian in the arenas in which we now travel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.